Omaganitvanandasya Ganantana Slakaya Chaksur Nalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Yesterday we went over that the soul is different from the body. We've heard that before. And that he has intelligence. And that intelligence can be utilized to further investigate not only the difference between himself and the body, but the source of all intelligence, the person who's providing him with the intelligence, namely the super soul. And by further investigating with intelligence, and by the help of scripture, and with the help of the super soul, then we come to the understanding that our real position is to become Krishna conscious. So today we'll go over something about fate, because the material world is more or less a distraction for the soul. The soul by nature is Krishna conscious. But when he comes to the material world, he becomes distracted, and therefore he has so many other concerns apart from Krishna, namely what his fate is. As I've done this experiment before, we'll teach everyone palmistry in 1 minute. It's called instant palmistry. Sometimes they have books. There's seats over here, Mother, if anyone wants to come. Well, first of all, does anyone not have an outline? Can you pass these out? Is a seat over here? If anyone wants to come in. We'll give everyone an instant palmistry lesson. Does anyone here know palmistry? Anyhow, we'll give you, sometimes in palmistry or in astrology, they can predict maybe 10 years, 20 years, but we'll predict at least 100 years from now. So everyone has a palm. Everyone here has two hands. Well, that's, I mean, everyone can see your right hand. What do you see on the right hand? Yes, there's so many lines there. So one of these lines is called the fate line. Of course, there are many other lines we can look at. And it starts from the beginning of the finger next to the thumb. I guess they call that the ring finger. And it goes all the way down. There's a line that goes all the way down. It may not go so far down. Anyhow, don't worry about it. Don't want to put anyone in anxiety. So if you look at it, it goes down, 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 and then what happens? Right, that's your future. I'm sorry to tell you, but that's... I know everyone's expecting good news, but... Right. So that's our future, is that it stops. But don't worry, if you look a little... The next time you get a hand, you can look... Maybe it won't stop so short. In any case, the soul is actually different from the body, but somehow or another, he's acquired this material body, and now he's thinking, somehow or another, that he can improve his material circumstances and avoid all the problems that he has now. Practically speaking, most of the society is dedicated to those two things. Either making life better, for instance, in modern society, they promise that we'll have more electricity, faster computers, faster cars, faster airplanes, and one day we can go to the moon and we can eat and sleep there. Something like that. The same things that we're doing here, we can go there and do it. Do something different. And at the same time, they're promising that that will make us happy. That instead of eating here in Belgium, we can eat someplace else. We can go fly to, who knows, Hawaii and eat there. there you can eat in Hawaii, and then the next day you can, go to sleep in Hawaii and wake up in the North Pole somewhere. But basically it's the same thing over and over again. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But somehow or another, especially by modern advertising, people are convinced that they're making advancement, that things are improving, and that all the problems that we have, they're disappearing. As I once mentioned, just like in the beginning of the 19th century, the Ford Motor Company was making massive propaganda in all the newspapers that these horses, because at that time they were mostly horses, are passing on the road, and they're passing all kinds of stool all over the road, and it's contaminating the atmosphere. Therefore, they promised that if everyone buys a car, we can solve the horse pollution problem. So indeed, that problem has been solved. There's no more horse pollution problem in most places, but a few other problems have been created. So this is modern society. As Prahlad Maharaj says, they promise that they'll solve one problem, but by doing so, they create five other problems. Therefore, we should find out about fate. What exactly is our fate? So fate is, there's two possibilities. Either it's fixed, or it can be changed, or maybe a combination. So how many devotees think that fate is fixed? You can't change it at all. How many things that it can be changed? And how many things there's a combination of fixed and changed? And how many think that none of the above? So no one thinks it's fixed. Hardly anyone. Yeah, for the ordinary persons, it is completely fixed. They can't change their karma. So that means that they don't have any free will? What's that? Actually, there's two classes of people, namely the devotees and the non-devotees, better known as the devotees and the demons. The demon, yeah. People think this is a demon. It's two horns. People say, "Oh, you're a demon." I guess the cow doesn't come there. That's people's conception of a demon. Oh, you're calling me a demon. You think I have two horns and a tail. But actually, demon means one who doesn't follow the Vedic scriptures. So in human society, to some extent, people are following the Vedic scriptures. Therefore, they have, to that extent, they have some free will. Otherwise, simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This is called, when I went to college, they have a theory. It was called, I forgot what it's called, I only studied it for 4 years. It was conditioned behavior modification. Indeed, condition reflex. So this was B.S. Skinner's contribution to modern atheism or demonism. We studied him for 4 years in school. So this means, this is called behavioral modification. This is on the fixed. So he said, this is on the fixed side. So he said that just like with Pavlov's dogs, Pavlov did an experiment and he had a dog, or a couple of dogs, and he'd feed them some food and ring a bell. Or we should say he'd ring a bell and then he'd feed them some food. And then after some time of doing that, then he'd just ring the bell and the dog would start to salivate, even without offering food. So this proved that we are conditioned by our environment. So there's no free will. Every time you ring the bell, the saliva comes out. So similarly, he gave that same analogy to the human beings, that we're all just a product of different sensory impulses that are coming to us, and we're simply reacting to it, just like Pavlov's dogs, that our whole existence is simply based upon some sensory experience is coming to us, and we're simply reacting to it according to the laws of nature. But he didn't have the understanding that in between, that this is what is known as proactive. Some parts of our society now, of our movement, people know more what proactive is than karma means and other types of philosophy. But proactive, according to the seven habits of highly effective people, I don't know if that's authorized to quote that, but proactive means that there's some stimuli, and in between the response, we can think over what we want to do. We have some free will to consider the reaction. So we can, according to our memory, according to our knowledge, according to our integrity, we can change the response. Just like we can be tolerant, for instance. That someone they say sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never harm me. Or they get to me after some time. So we have some ability to tolerate and to judge our response according to some other criteria other than simply the urges, the senses of the mind, our past conditioning. So that is the human quality. So of course, that is the quality that's taught within religion. Of course, people are giving up religion and they're becoming more and more animals. Modern philosophy is, if it feels good, do it. As long as it doesn't hurt too many people. And if it does, you know, that, so what can you do? So this is our, at least even to the, what we would consider to be non-devotees, still there may be a certain amount of tolerance, a certain amount of godly qualities within them, a certain amount of judgment. Of course, that's, as I said, it's disappearing. So for those who have no thoughtfulness, then they're simply reacting according to whatever stimuli is coming to them, they react, and therefore their karma is completely fixed. Not only is their karma fixed, but even those who are non-devotees, even if they somehow or another are able to tolerate and be thoughtful, but unless they get the mercy of Krishna, unless they're actually a devotee, then Krishna won't actually change their karma either. In other words, nirdahati karmani. Yes. How does it start? Yes, to Indra Gopam Adhrahendra Mahov Karma Bandhana Rupa Bhajitam Anoti Karmadi Kintu Nita Kintu Shabakti Bhajam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So from the little Indra Gopa germ, even up to the equality of Indra, everyone's karma is fixed, except for one who's engaged in Bhakti Bhajam. Only for one who's actually engaged in Krishna's service does Krishna change the reaction. So, practically speaking, only for a devotee, but when aspiring for devotional service, does Krishna change the karma? So how does he change the karma? Tattenu kampam susmikshamanam vunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvag vapuvir hidadanamaste viveta san what's that? Jiveta yo mukti sadeh daya bhak. So tolerating all the different problems that we're facing, So in other words, even for a devotee, when we say that Krishna can change the karma, he can change it in any way he wants. But generally what he does is he takes our karma, whatever karma we have, and what is our karma? According to our different desires and activities from our past lives. Just like bees. Not very good artist, but at least the visual impact what I'm talking about. So just like a bee, little bees go out and they collect flowers, pollen from the flower. I'm better at the flower. So they get the pollen from all different flowers, sometimes from lotus flowers, sometimes from jasmine flowers, sometimes from tulip, from different types of flowers, and they get together and they come back into their hive and they make honey. So honey is a combination of all the different pollen that the bees have collected. It forms into honey, and every different type of honey has a different taste. So similarly, all the different activities that we've ever done in the past and all our different desires, they're collected together as our collective karma. There's different types of karma. One of them is that collective karma. And Krishna, who's the super soul in everyone's heart, Upadrasana Namanta Cha Bharata Bhokta Maheshwara Paramatmeti Chapyuto Dehesmin Purusha Para. He's sitting there, and he knows exactly what the collective karma we have, all the desires we have in the past, all our different activities, and he gives us this present body. Here's our present body. Or sometimes we may think we're happy, and sometimes... So sometimes it appears that our collective karma is auspicious, and sometimes it's inauspicious, and sometimes it's mixed. So Krishna, he knows exactly what the material energy is like, a huge machine, and it works exactly according to a certain structure and order. And this present body we have is exactly according to the laws of material nature, according to our past desires and our past activities. So, there's a little, what's happening is that there's thoughts going through the mind all the time. So the living entity, the soul, he has an ability to desire. So desire is he has the capacity to desire by his free will. So here's a thought coming by. There's thoughts coming by all the time. So the living entity, according to his knowledge, what he thinks will be good and bad, he becomes attached to certain ideas. Just like, for instance, we may ride down the street, and we may see many countries nowadays. When I first went to Poland, there were hardly any advertisements. But now in Poland, everywhere, there's an advertisement with a cowboy and a horse on it. And they both have a big smile, and they're smoking a cigarette. Cowboy smoking, giving a little to the horse. And they're both quite pleased. So, a devotee, he'll realize that this is all crazy. That how can you be, just like Prabhupada once mentioned, in America they have a cigarette called Cool. I don't know if they have that here anymore. Maybe it went out of business. The Prabhupada said, how can it be cool to breathe in fire? They're advertising smoke cool And yet it's just like you're breathing in fire. So a devotee knows that this is all nonsense. How can this be true? But people who don't have knowledge like that, they'll become attached. The desire will come by, the advertisement, you know, with the horse on it. And the cowboy.